The Chris Byrne Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Welcome to the Chris Byrne Show. So glad to have you here Sunday afternoon. It's going to be wall-to-wall Oscar coverage. I brought Mario Lopez. We'll be breaking down exactly what Margot Robbie is wearing. Now, let me ask, seriously, very, very quickly, how many of you are actually going to watch the Academy Awards tonight? The last 2 years have been the lowest 2 years of ratings ever for this. I asked one of my producers earlier if he would be watching. His immediate answer, no way. And then I said this, okay, but if Ricky Gervais was hosting the awards, would you be watching? Immediately, of course. What are they thinking? If the whole point of this is entertainment, if the whole point of this is ratings, then why in the world would you not beg on your knees after the Golden Globes performance to have Ricky Gervais come back? But once again, no host. So let's just say 1917 should win Best Oscar and we're moving on, because the actual point of this show is about you. It's not primarily about just what's going on in Hollywood or just what's going on in the world or in Washington or geopolitically. It's about how those things trickle down to your specific situation. And I want to talk about something today that is so real for all of us, and that's the reality that mortgages are at the lowest they've ever been. Wall Street Journal just coming out saying mortgage rates about 3.45%. Holy cow, that has not existed. And so what does that mean for you as we move into the spring, as we move into selling season? Does it mean we should be refinancing and taking advantage of these low rates? Does it mean that if you buy a new house, you should take all the equity from your old one and pour it into the new house when we're sitting again at 3.5% mortgage rates? This has real and practical significance to what you choose to do. So if you want to jump in on this conversation, it's 404-872-0750. Phone lines are open, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Would love to discuss this with you, because again, we've just never seen it before. And I think it's so easy to become complacent, like it's normative in some way to have 3.5% interest rates. That is not normal. My parents are here. It's fun to have them here. I was talking with my dad on the car on the way here and just asked him again, tell me about your first mortgage. Okay, he bought his first home in 1982. The fixed rate at that point under Carter would have been 17.5%. 17.5%. So in that kind of environment, almost all of us grew up. I certainly grew up being told, look, what you need to do is pay off that house as quickly as you can. If it means doubling what you pay, if possible, or at least paying extra every month, or re-amortizing, refinancing into a 15-year note instead of a 30-year note, because the whole point is pay off that house. And so many people still come sit down with me, and that is their thought process. To this point, I had a client that walked in this week, and I'm talking with them about their life. They're clients of mine. And I haven't seen him in quite a while. It's been a year, so we're doing an annual review. And I said, give me an update. What's going on? And they say, oh, well, yeah, we also sold our house recently. Just bought a new place. I said, really? What did you do with the equity from the house? I said, oh, of course, we poured it all into the new house. Now, this is a family that could really have used some extra cash. But it was so deeply taught, deeply like just blazing into their minds that what you do when you sell is take every dollar and put it into the new home, because that's what they were taught and that's been the reality for so long that that's what they did without even talking to me, and I'm working with them. So is that the way you're thinking right now? How are you handling this? We have James in Decatur. James, thanks so much for joining the Chris Byrne Show. What are you thinking?
Hey, thank you very much for taking the call. I've been thinking about selling my house out in South DeKalb for about 4 or 5 years now. A little apprehensive because, you know, you hear so much, like you just said, you hear people say stuff and you don't know if it's good advice, if it's sound advice, sure. You know, on and on and on. But I've been thinking about selling because I think I'm ready for something else. But then listening to you a moment ago, you brought up the point of equity. What do you do with the equity that you have in the current property? Do you apply it, a portion of it, you know, to the new purchase? That's kind of where I am. I'd appreciate your advice.
Yeah, certainly. Well, let me ask you a quick question. So how about just roundabout, how much equity do you have right now in the home?
Well, first thing, hello, you still there?
I am. Yeah, I'm just wondering, and if you sold your current home, just guesstimate here. What do you think, what amount of equity do you have built up now? How much do you think you'd walk away with if you were to sell your home?
I would say probably in the $50,000 range. You know, this is South DeKalb, and I'm just being totally realistic. Back in 2008, when the economy went bust, this area took a bloodbath.
Sure.
Figure of speech, of course.
Yeah.
When it came to the value of the home plummeting out in this territory. And so that's probably a safe guesstimate. It could be a little more, a little less, to answer your question.
Okay. And the home you want to buy, about how much would you guess that would cost?
Well, I would want no more than probably about $150,000 mortgage. I'm not trying to bite off more than I can chew these days. And at the end of the month, you got to pay somebody to live in it, you know.
Sure.
I consider all those things. I'm past my 30s now. You know, when you are impulsively buying stuff, I'm way past that. So I'm really cognizant of what I try to buy. But I would appreciate your point of view on how I should perhaps proceed with this.
Sure. Well, let me give you a few thoughts on this. And a lot of it depends on more specifics of your situation that I won't make you try to dig out on air, but it really looks at, think about this way. If the normal down payment is 20%, now you see people out there right now that are making, that are buying new houses and mortgages that are offered that let you get them for lower than 20%. But let's just call that the normative down payment that allows you to not have mortgage insurance. If you can avoid mortgage insurance, it's a huge win because that's just an extra payment for no reason, right? So if you want to buy a $150,000 house, you're looking at a $30,000 down payment to avoid mortgage insurance. But if you make about 50, again, roundabouts, and I know we have commissions on real estate, et cetera, but let's say you make about 50, you only need 30. Conventional wisdom is, no, put the whole 50 in. Why? Because mortgage rates used to be so high. But if you're sitting in a situation where, let's say you have other debt sitting out there, maybe credit card debt at 17.5% right now, we're at the highest interest rate on credit card debt ever right now. Okay, so let's say you're sitting with extra debt, or maybe you don't have other savings. Maybe you don't have money sitting in the bank for the next time something comes up in life. Is it the best call to take that extra $20,000 that maybe historically you would have poured into the new home and instead maybe turn around and go, you know what, I actually need this in the bank. I can still avoid mortgage insurance and I can lock in a 30-year fixed note if I have good credit at about 3.5% right now. That might be a better call. And this is where context becomes so important. Okay, because a lot of people expect as they're listening right now that what I'm going to say is because interest rates are so low, of course you need to change your mindset. Of course you need to not put all that money into the house. Of course you need to, you know, take it and put it in savings. That's not necessarily the case because we have two layers here. The first layer is what's going on, you know, at a 30,000 foot view. So at a 30,000 foot view, the fact that interest rates are so low, that is something you should have in mind as you think about selling your home, as you think about real estate. You should be thinking about, is there something better that I can do with the equity from my home than just pouring it into the next home, right? And so I've had clients come in that have refinanced their home, gotten the equity out, and been able to pay off all of their credit card debt by rolling it into a new 30-year fixed 3.5% note. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's just good leveraging at that point, right? Or I've had people that have said, I want to, for instance, update the new home that I'm going into. And so instead of pouring all the money into the new mortgage, I'm going to take the extra, some of that extra equity, and I'm going to be able to do the renovations I want to do. Okay, there's lots of options from that 30,000 foot view. But then you bring it down one step further and you look at yourself. And this is where we get into the issue, the reality that math and just looking at the interest rates, which is critical, is also not real life. That math and real life don't always line up. So let's say you're that person, and this is where we have to be brutally honest with ourselves, right? Let's say you are that person that you know if you take that money out, right, you don't put it into the new mortgage, there's a good chance you're going to spend it. That the moment you pay off all your credit cards, which may be the wisest thing for you to do, your first tendency is going to start running up credit card debt again. Then we don't just have a math issue. We have a behavior issue. We have a discipline issue. And you need to know yourself well enough to make that decision. So it's not as simple as just saying, hey, look, interest rates are low, let's leverage this to your advantage. Because if you turn around and spend all that money, or if you turn around and just raise the spend all the credit cards again, then you're in a worse place than where you started. But the key here is to get away from just saying, this is how we've always done things. And that's the danger I see. So many people out there, again, going back to this client that I've known for quite a while, and they came in, it was so ingrained in their head that what you do is immediately pay off the mortgage. It's as American as apple pie, right? You got to pay off the mortgage. That's the goal for retirement. That's the goal for everything. Okay, when you have 17.5% interest rates, of course you should be doing everything possible to pay that down. But the context has changed, and I don't know this because I can't predict it. I sincerely doubt we're going to see rates like this again. I would imagine, just like we look back at Carter and go, holy cow, can you believe that there were 17.5% interest rates at that point? That we're also going to go back now and say, can you remember when there were 3.5% fixed mortgage rates for 30 years? Friends, everything in life is getting more expensive, even with inflation down right now. The reality is, in 10 years, milk and groceries and gas, all that's going to cost more. You know what's not going to cost more? Your fixed mortgage. So it's an unbelievable opportunity right now, but you got to know yourself. What's the best way for you to take advantage of this unique situation? Because again, it's not something we see come along very often, and you don't want to be someone that makes a decision without actually taking the time to really think about it.
The Chris Byrne Show. Money made personal. Want to know more about Chris Burns and Dynamic Money? Follow Dynamic Money on Facebook. Just search Dynamic Money.
Hey, thanks again for James and the call about what's the wisest thing to do to sell my home right now. Should I be selling? If I do sell, what do I do with the equity I have in my home? A lot of you are thinking about this right now because, again, we're coming up on the spring and that is prime selling season. I had two different people in my office this week discussing this exact issue. Should we be selling? Should we not be? Should we stay in our home? How do we handle this? And you've got to look at layers of context again, not just what's going on, which may be reason enough to make a move. Because again, I don't know that we're ever going to see 3.5% interest rates. It's insane. I mean, again, we're going to look back, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if you're talking with them, they're going to be amazed that we had 3.5% interest rates. Is that actually good for the economy that we have that? That's a whole different question. It's just the reality that that's what we're sitting on right now. If you want to talk about that in your situation, as you look at your home, if you own a home, and what you should be doing, the number is 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Because I think this is really critical, and it's a great opportunity not just to be super practical and go, what should I do? But also to sit and really examine, how is it that I make these financial decisions? Let's look at James again for a second. Right? He has all these options. He can stay in his home. The wisdom there would be, well, maybe the equity will continue to rise. He said he got just destroyed in 2008. So many of us did, where we lost significant value in our homes through the recession. And then we saw this incredible tear in home values. In fact, it was the third fastest, I believe, growth in home values ever. And now most real estate folks I know would say we've kind of come to a plateau there. Like, we don't have the same kind of growth that we were having. We're still having growth, but we're not seeing this incredible growth in home values. And so people are sitting and wondering, what should I be doing with this? And I think, again, in someone like James's case, you have to look at the layers. The first layer is, I can sell right now. I know I have a significant amount of equity in his case. I've got more than I need to go to a new home. So if I sell and then I go get a new place, and that new place I'm able to get this low interest rate, 3.5%, should I be pouring all the equity into that new home, or are there other things I should be doing with it? And some of the answer to that question has to do with you knowing yourself well enough to go, what would you do with the extra money? Would you save it? Would you pay off debt? Would you renovate the new home? Or would you go spend it all? Right? Can we be honest enough to know yourself to go, hey, this would be a great slush fund basically for yourself? Because at that point, maybe it is best just to keep the money in the home. Right. There's all sorts of different pieces here. And that's why I say it becomes so dangerous for us to give sound bites of, hey, because interest rates are so great, now's the time to refinance. Well, yeah, maybe now is the time to refinance. But there's so many factors that go into this. We have John in Duluth. John, thank you so much for joining the Chris Burns Show. What are you thinking?
I have a 15-year mortgage at 3%. And I'm trying to decide what I should do as far as the equity in the home. I have about $200,000 in equity in the home. And I was trying to decide if I should maybe sell the home or rent the home, actually, and maybe get another home and rent out the one I'm existing in.
Well, that's not, I mean, a terrible thing right now. One thing a lot of people I know and clients I'm working with are talking about is now the time that I get into having income-producing properties? So I understand why you would say that. So you said you have about $200,000 of equity in the home. Do you plan on staying there long-term? Has that been your desire?
Well, it was. I was wanting to move closer to the lake. I'm a single guy, and I bought a four-bedroom home when I moved to Atlanta. And I was raised the same way you're speaking about as far as pay the home off. I have a very volatile job where I'm always worried about the next day. And, I was just trained to pay that house off as fast as possible. Hmm. And I'm very careful about taking too much risk, but I want to make an investment in renting, maybe getting into second income from the home.
Yeah.
And getting something a little smaller that,
John, I have to run to a break. Let me keep you on the line because I want to talk about this more. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about Chris Burns and Dynamic Money? Check out dynamicmoney.com.
Hey, welcome back. Did you know less than a year ago, 30-year fixed mortgages were over 5%. And so now suddenly here we sit, Wall Street Journal reporting, we're back to the lowest rates we've seen in over 3 years. We're about 3.45%. And that's honestly some of the lowest rates we've ever seen in the history of recording this. So what do we do about that? We have John on the line. John, you were gracious enough to hold over if you're still there. Can you hear me, John? John, are you still there?
Hello?
Hey, thank you so much for waiting over the break. I just thought your situation is fascinating. So just to recap, you said you had about $200,000 of equity in your home, and now you're sitting going, well, what should I do with this? Should I sell? Should I refinance? Should I buy a new property? What have your thoughts been up to this point?
Well, I have a house that's bigger than I need. I have a four-bedroom house that I thought I was going to grow into, and that didn't happen. So I'm a single guy and decided I don't need that big of a house. But it suits my needs. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have. It's in a good area, and I just felt maybe I could downsize, get closer to the lake where I think I would enjoy it more. And I have a boat now, and I thought maybe I could do that or stay in the house and just pay it off and be done with the mortgage. But it just seems that with the equity that I have built up in the house, that maybe I should do something as far as an investment property and maybe look for something else and have some income coming in besides the career.
Okay.
Like I said, the career is volatile. That's why I was in such a hurry to pay it off because I didn't want to have a note looming over me.
Well, I understand that. Let me ask you this. If you were to buy another house right now, are you in a situation where you would need to take equity out of this house to do it? Or do you have other savings where you could just buy another place and get a new mortgage and hold both as is? Where do you sit on that at this point?
I would probably need to take some equity out of the house to do that.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of ways to approach this. What I like about your question is it goes to the reality of planning, that you had a plan a few years ago and you thought this is going to work out, but you've put yourself in a place where you have flexibility. And that flexibility is key here. And I've seen so many people succeed by leveraging. Think about it. If you do leverage right now and you go for that income property, and so maybe you refinance the house you're in because it's still an incredibly low rate. If I were you, I would actually do it over a 30-year note. I wouldn't do another 15-year note because you can get that if you have good credit at a low rate right now. And then you have the equity to go buy another home you're going to live in. But now you're renting this out. You're getting that income stream. Like you said, you have more confidence because of that. and you're still seeing the value of this home grow. Now, if mortgage rates were sitting significantly higher right now, that might be a terrible decision, right? But with mortgage rates as low as they are, it gives you the opportunity to leverage that and maybe feel more comfortable leveraging that than you would have otherwise. So I actually really like the idea. If it's something that you can handle, it's not going to stress you out, because a lot of people, when it comes to income properties, it honestly comes down to how much can you personally handle? Do you want to be the one actually managing it? Are you the kind of personality for that? Because for some people, they're not. So they hire and they bring in these third-party managers, and then you lose a significant amount of the profit that you would have made. But if you're a person that is detailed, which just in the brief conversation we've had, it sounds like you're a forward-thinking, detailed person, and you like that, and you can maintain that house and start getting rental income from that, and at the same time live where you want, increase your quality of life, and have this other income now long-term, that's a fantastic way to leverage rates right now. And I love that people are thinking about this and getting outside the box. And one thing that he said early on was the reason he had not thought about this, again, was because he was raised, like so many of us were, to say that really the only option, the only viable option, is take every single cent, put it into the new house, pay off the house as quickly as you can, because God forbid we enter retirement with any sort of mortgage. That's at the core of this. By the way, if you're thinking about this, struggling with this, it's 1-800-WSB-TALK or 404-872-0750. Let me just say this. Anytime we settle into a pattern of thinking and say, this is it, this is the way you do things, then we put ourselves at risk, because the world will keep changing around you. And so your plan has to be flexible. And so just because you grew up with a context where it was hammered into your head that said, if you don't pay off this house prior to retirement, you're going to be in terrible shape, doesn't mean that's the actual reality at this point. It needs to be based on your context today. And I love that John has the ability to pivot and say, this is what I was thinking, but now I can actually go out and maybe turn this into a huge advantage for me by capitalizing on the lowest rates we've ever seen that we probably will not see again. That is the kind of thinking that will get you ahead, but it's examining all of your options there. Okay, so just like we have unprecedented mortgage rates, something else I want to talk about. We just got job report numbers in, okay? So job numbers are out. Unemployment's actually a little bit up, but that's actually a good thing, which sounds weird to a lot of you. You go, I thought the whole deal was that unemployment is down and we should be excited about it. Well, first of all, let me just say this. We still saw job growth, okay? Unemployment still at some of the lowest levels we've ever seen it before. So it's not that we saw a major shift here. It was only a slight shift. But that shift actually points to something very interesting. The slight uptick in unemployment means that more people are coming off of the sidelines right now. What do I mean? Well, just like earlier, one of the callers mentioned, hey, look, in 2008, I totally got hosed, right? My house, the value dropped dramatically. It took all these years for it to come back. The same thing happened in jobs. We saw a lot of people in the midst of the recession, when there were massive layoffs, going, I'm out. And you know what? I'm just going to be out now. I'm just going to stay out. Why would I get back in? And some people did that because of the recession. Some people did it because maybe they were working and then they had decided to have a family. So they said, I'm going to take a few years off. There's all sorts of reasons that people step out of the job market. But it's a really encouraging sign about what a remarkable job seekers environment we have right now, that we're seeing people start to come back off the sidelines. And so let me just say this, first of all, if you're someone who is sitting right now and you go, I have been out for 10 years, I decided to raise a family. I used to work, I have my professional degree, I know what I'm doing, but I've just taken a number of years off and nobody would hire me now. Let me challenge that thinking, that there are so many companies right now that are looking for skilled workers. And let me also say this, the number one anxiety that I see people have right now, the number one anxiety for the last 4 or 5 years of clients I've worked with, has been something I'd never heard previous to that. And it's, will I be able to work long enough? In other words, now that I live in a market-driven economy with a market-driven retirement, where the success of my retirement has everything to do with how long I can work and how much I can save. Will that work out for me, or will I just be replaced when I'm 55 years old, 58 years old, 60 years old by some younger person they can pay a lower salary to who can just take over my job and I'm going to be thrown out and then I won't have enough time to make enough money? And there's so many people that confide this to me that this is their deep fear. It keeps them up at night. Friends, we are in a job market right now that says it doesn't matter if you are older. It doesn't matter if you've been out of the workforce. What matters is, do you have skills to bring to the table? There are companies looking. Let me bring this down to a really practical level. I did an update on this recently where I talked about this is a job seeker's market right now. So if you're feeling fear, now is the time to get off the sidelines. If you're not paid what you should be getting paid, now is the time to go after that job. Maybe a new job is going to pay you more or demand that raise because companies are looking. They have a small pool of skilled workers right now. Okay, and so someone heard that update and a friend of theirs was in a position where they had just lost their job and the friend was feeling totally overwhelmed because they're divorced and their job was key to time with their kids and paying rent, et cetera, et cetera. And they started spiraling. And maybe you've been in this place where life happens to you. It's unexpected. And you begin to spiral. And then that mountain of anxiety and shame starts to come. And then what do we move to as humans? We move to avoidance, right? So this person was doing everything they could in their anxiety to avoid even thinking about this. But the person that had heard our update, their friend, went to them and said, hey, look, it seems like right now we have incredibly good market for job seekers. Unemployment's down. I think you really need to go after them. They shared the update with them, and this person went out. It gave them the courage to go, I'm going to try this out. They went out. They did a few interviews. They got two offers, and they now have a full-time job. Friends, in 4 weeks. And I'm not saying this to say, wow, what a great update. What I'm saying is, what a great market. So if you are someone sitting right now that's going, I don't have what it takes, I've been out of the workforce too long, or I just don't know what it would look like, I don't want to rock the boat, I don't want to risk losing my job. If I say something, I know I'm underpaid, but I don't want to say anything about it. If you are that person, there's never existed, let me say this again, never existed a better market for job hunting ever. Just like there's never existed mortgage rates like we're seeing right now. So take that step to break through and go, you know what? Now is the time because it will not last forever. There will come a time when suddenly we see a higher pool of workers and we don't see companies going, you know what? We're willing to really look at skilled people, even if those skilled people have not been working in years. Now is the time to capitalize on this. And so much of actual planning, as much as we want it to be black and white, as much as we want it to just be this is what you do and then it all works out, so much of it is looking at the current context. What is the current situation and how do I capitalize on that? How do I put myself in a position where when job numbers look really, really good, that I take advantage of it? Because that might be your ticket right now to the job that you need, to the income you need. Don't miss that just because you don't believe in yourself.
The Chris Burns Show. Money made personal. Can't get enough of Chris? Follow him on Twitter at CW Burns for more.
No, I'm not saying to everyone texting, I'm not saying you should watch the Oscars tonight. I'm saying that if Ricky Gervais was hosting, you would be watching. Those are qualitatively different things. You know it's true, and yet no host, and so none of us will be watching. But 1917, friends, it should be winning. Regardless, we're going to move into our lightning round. That's our opportunity every week to answer the questions you've sent in throughout the week. If you have a question about anything you've heard today or just something going on in your financial world, just go to dynamicmoney.com. You can ask. We will get back to you, and we try to do it on the show as often as we can. So we're going to jump in. We have April. She writes in, I heard you talking about putting your money in savings for an emergency fund instead of trying to pay down a credit card. I wanted to ask if it'd be better to get a low interest credit card, transfer all of your high balances and other credit cards to that one card, and then put the difference that you're saving in payments into your savings. So in other words, April is saying, hey, if I can still get a low interest card or a 0% card and consolidate into that and lower my payments. And then I can take that, the excess now, and put it into my emergency fund. And I would say that's a great option compared to sitting at 17.5%, certainly. But again, like we talked about earlier, there might be multiple options depending on your situation. So let's say right now you're a person sitting with equity in your home. One of the best ways to handle the insane interest rates we're seeing on credit cards right now is if you're in the position to do it, if it fits your context, which is the whole deal, refinancing your home, taking the equity that you had from that, refinancing, paying off the credit cards as a cash out refinance, and basically lumping that into now a 30-year fixed rate at the lowest rates we've ever seen. I like that more than the 0% card. Here's why. Most 0% cards say 0% interest for this period of time, but if you go one day past that beautiful 0% period of time they give you, they will not only charge you interest starting there, they'll charge you interest from the very moment you took out the card. And so I see a lot of people come in that go, holy cow, I just saw my rate, you know, my overall balance jump by over $1,000. How did that happen? Well, it's because you passed the time limit on the 0%. Regardless, it is a great strategy, however you do it, to make sure you build that emergency fund first, because that allows you to break the cycle of just taking out debt long term. Next time an emergency happens, you have cash to pay it off, and now you can truly focus on paying off your debt because you don't have to sit in fear of having to swipe the credit card again. So great question. Thank you, April. Nancy writes, I listened to your show and I asked my advisor because of that for more information on how he gets paid. He spent the rest of the meeting explaining why commissions are actually good for me. What's going on? That's a fantastic question, Nancy. So I grew up in the commissions world. I started in life insurance and we were actually taught, we spent hours and hours learning how to explain to people why commissions are actually in their best interest, because then they don't have to pay us. The company pays us, and it sounds like a wonderful problem. The issue is incentives, right? It incentivizes the advisor, if they're getting paid commissions, it incentivizes them to sell you the biggest product possible because that's how they get paid. That determines the size of the paycheck. So go to the incentives, not to the nice rhetoric. All right, that's all the time we have now. Now, we will have Beyond the Show on our podcast. If you've never listened to our podcast, just go to The Chris Burns Show on any podcast platform, and you'll see Beyond the Show, which is where I take a little extra time to dig into things we couldn't cover here. So we'll cover one more question I got, as well as talk about what does it mean to live in a market-driven economy. But regardless, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. Whether you watch the Oscars or not, I hope this was entertaining. And just remember this, that your life, friends, and your future are so much more than money.